You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We will get into Super Bowl 57 later in the week. We'll break it down from the three perspectives. We'll first do our matchup version. So we'll look at quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, how they play out here in the game for you. So straight up doing it in the old school fantasy football way with season long leagues extending into playoffs. Then we'll look at the betting there for the game, not just the over-under and the spread, but also the player props that you can look at in FanDuel Sportsbook. And then we'll also look at DFS. We'll close the week with that like we always do, lineup Friday, breaking down things that we can look at on FanDuel Cash Games, DraftKings tournaments, and prize picks of the week for the Super Bowl. So all kinds of good stuff coming this week. Today we'll first focus on more of the free agent preview with the running backs. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/lockedon and get on your way to being your best self. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let's dive right in. An interesting free agent class for sure. Some big names right off the top at running back. Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, Saquon Barkley of the Giants. Those guys, I mean, out there, these are complete workhorse backs that really surprised some people with their production. Josh Jacobs in a different way because he really exceeded expectations. He was in that dead zone running backs. We didn't know what we were going to get. But then things started to come around that he would be the clear workhorse here, that Amir Abdullah and Zamir White were not going to get the key touches here in Las Vegas. So Josh Jacobs carries the load. He wins the NFL rushing title. He also finishes with the most yards from scrimmage. He had some big blow-up games. He's pretty consistent here. So Josh Jacobs, one of the league winners in fantasy football. So Raiders should want to keep him here. I mean, he carried a heavy load here for Josh McDaniels. He filled that rushing attack really well here, and really the Raiders don't have a lot. And now Tom Brady's not coming. We know that he's retiring, so maybe they'll be more reluctant with Josh Jacobs. Maybe they could look for another team releasing somebody, or they don't want to pay Jacobs a lot of money. So it's an interesting decision to come here, and we know it's a little bit of the Patriots brass with McDaniels and their GM Dave Ziegler. So do they look, okay, running backs interchangeable, we can go in a different direction here and see who else is out there, maybe a Damian Harris that they like. And he's a free agent with the Patriots. And so there's different ways they can look at it. But Josh Jacobs wants to be a Raider, just played in the Pro Bowl flag football festivities and all that. He deserves a new contract there. They didn't pick up his option, but they wanted to see what he could do in this offense. He was spectacular in this offense. He's still pretty young. We know he's a special back. He's a first-round pick out of Alabama. But Raiders have to think about that. I think this is the best situation for him. I mean, we know the proven track record in the McDaniels offense. So going somewhere else, we're a little bit afraid. Will the committee develop? Will they ease the burden on Jacobs after having a big volume season? So things to consider there. There's every indication that the Giants want to bring back Saquon Barkley, and they might actually make him a higher priority here, potentially with the franchise tag, than quarterback Daniel Jones. Barkley, again, surprised some people in fantasy. He still was going as an RB1 in most leagues, but the big thing with Saquon is he stayed healthy, and we saw what he could do. Finally, the offense that didn't turn over the ball at a high rate with Daniel Jones. Jones helped him with his own brand of rushing, so that opened things up in the backfield for Barkley that way. We know he opened early with some big games, a little bit big game dependent with Barkley's production, and he could wear down and be inconsistent in some games. But the Giants still view him as an integral part of what they want to do offensively in a run-heavy kind of system with him and Jones and playing off that in the deep passing game and trying to get more assets to help in that area. So I think Barkley is pretty critical to what the Giants want to do here going forward with their offense. We know it's going to at least have Brian Daboll. Mike Kafka is looking at the Cardinals job, and he might be considered there, so they might lose their offense coordinator. But I don't think they'll lose their offensive philosophy where Barkley and Jones were the lifeblood of what they're doing, and maybe even so Barkley and Jones playing off that. So Barkley has said he wants to remain in New York. I think that's going to happen. So I would expect Jacobs to remain with the Raiders and still be a very strong RB1 candidate. Same thing with Barkley and the Giants. I think they'll get paid like it here. And really, the rare workhorses that see most of the touches with their backups as being a blip in the action here. So if there was another place I would like Jacobs to land, I mean, it's anywhere that has a bit of an opening. The Cowboys might be willing to splurge if they can move Ezekiel Elliott. They've said they're going to keep him there and pay him still, even though they can get out of his contract. Tony Pollard coming off that fractured fibula, so that could be a question mark there. Does he go to a situation where he can touch the ball a lot, say in Miami, where they have that zone blocking system with Mike McDaniel? They have some issues as well in the backfield, so Jacobs potentially could explore his options. I think Barkley would fit in a number of different situations here. I mean, you look at the Bears, they could also be moving on from David Montgomery. So really how you look at the free agent running backs is teams that may have a void at that position because of their own free agency situation that they could target. But I think with backs like this that to hit the market and price out at a high value, you're pretty much looking at the teams that originally drafted them to be the best bet for their second contract. Maybe when you get to the third contract and you're pushing that 29-30 age, and there's a little bit of diminishing returns that are bound to happen, then you move on. But Jacobs and Barkley still quite young here to build on their rookie contracts, and I think you'll see that from the Raiders and Giants. So, again, I think both these guys in their current systems are locked in as RB1s next year just because the workload alone, the touchdown potential, the big game potential, as well as the receiving pop of their game as well. So really like these guys, and hopefully they stay put so we don't have to figure out what their roles might be on another team and if they can continue that production elsewhere. All right, we will break down several more free agent running backs, interesting situations. We do have five more notable names in our next segment. Then we'll get to the rest of the best in our final segment here on Locked On Fantasy Football. So good stuff all around as we transition again from offseason to looking mock draft and free agency back to what we'll have in Super Bowl 57 this week. So we'll do that kind of progressive here on Locked On Fantasy Football. It's all just getting you prepared for what's coming ahead, and really excited about that on the show. This episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual or roadmap, so when it's not working for you or you get a little lost, it's normal to feel stuck and not sure where to go. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, and they do a great job of that to be your guide through this thing called life. And we really are thankful that we get their perspective on things, and at betterhelp.com they're going to help you do that for sure, and find the right therapist there for you. They give you a guided tour of the complex engine called you. BetterHelp has connected more than 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. Everyone deserves to feel their best. BetterHelp makes it easier to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they match millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. It's all the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. I've really relied on therapy through a lot of obstacles and challenges I've had through my life, and I highly recommend it. And BetterHelp is going to get you there with no waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% of your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/lockedon. All right, I have another exciting announcement to make here on the show that we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America. It's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. And really, it's the only app you need at your Super Bowl party to have a lot of fun there. That FanDuel app is going to be so good to have during the game. You can download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if you bet your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. We'll have a lot more on that. We'll break down the best that we do like here later in the week for you. So we do love being a partner with FanDuel Sportsbook. We can check out what their options are to get in on the action for the Super Bowl in different ways. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So just join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Again, the app couldn't be simpler, and the FanDuel action is no better than it is right now with Super Bowl and all these games going on across sports, NBA, NHL, baseball starting to come around here with the World Baseball Classic. So a lot of good action here to get in on FanDuel now. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, it is time to continue the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football, looking at the rest of the free agent top options at running backs. These guys are all in my top 50 overall unrestricted free agents at sportingnews.com. Tony Pollard comes up next, and Pollard had a fantastic season for Dallas. Unfortunately, ends it with a fractured fibula there in the game against the playoffs. So we look at that. It's a rough ending for him against the 49ers, I should say. So Pollard couldn't finish that game, and it was just really rough here for the Cowboys to realize that, because Pollard had been the lifeblood of what they were doing, not only with their more explosive rushing attack, but also being a great change of pace receiver, pretty valuable to their offense. Now Kellen Moore is gone, and now Mike McCarthy's calling plays with Brian Schottenheimer taking over as the offensive coordinator in Dallas. So I don't know if that plays well into Pollard, because Schottenheimer's always been a power running back type guy when we go to Seattle and some of his other stops here in the league. So a little bit concerning they may not bring back Pollard, especially if Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are saying they might commit to bring back Elliott, even though getting out of his contract is pretty easy with the cap relief without taking a dead money hit. So that's a little concerning about Pollard's value. Are they going to be patient for him to be ready in a training camp and realize this is a tough injury he had in the very last game of the season in the playoffs deep here in January? So I'm not sure what the Cowboys are going to do with Pollard. I think they would like to bring him back. They could also franchise tag him. I think it would also benefit Pollard. Maybe he looks at, again, the Dolphins as an opening there and just tries to explore what is out there. Maybe he wants to go to the Chargers and form a 1-2 punch with Austin Eckler with Kellen Moore there. So I think the Chargers are going to be one of those teams that there's already some Jalen Ramsey rumors that they're going to go on a little bit more with Justin Herbert's contract here this year, and maybe deferring the big salary cap into next year if they re-sign a big deal. So Pollard could be a luxury guy. I think him and Eckler could add an interesting dimension to the Chargers. Of course, it would hurt Pollard's fantasy value if he's got to share with Eckler. Would he end up in a place like Cleveland? If Cleveland needs a compliment to Nick Chubb, it would be very similar to what he has there. Or maybe you look at Tennessee and they're going to ease the burden on Derrick Henry a little bit and they could go with Pollard. So I just don't think it can go down much, because I think he's a special back and he did have to share quite a bit with Ezekiel Elliott, and he was highly productive as an RB1. So I'm excited where he can go. We hope he stays in Dallas. Ideally, he'd stay in Dallas and they realize, okay, Elliott is too much money and we want to cut him and save that money. So there's a lot of things that are going to be in play, including the health of Pollard here going forward. Another NFC East running back that I could see his current team walking away from is Miles Sanders, and you have Kenneth Gainwell. Boston Scott is also a free agent, by the way, so Sanders and Scott unsigned. Gainwell has looked pretty good. He had his first 100-yard rushing game against the Giants there in the playoffs. Was pretty effective in the game of mopping it up against the 49ers with their quarterback issues. He came on strong there as well. So Gainwell's looked pretty good. He's a little bit more versatile than Sanders. Sanders doesn't offer much at all in the passing game, so Gainwell looking pretty good overall as a back. Do they just move on with Gainwell and Scott? It's a position where you don't need to spend a lot of money. Also, the Eagles have considerable free agent issues, defensive line, the linebacker, some really concerns on the other side of the ball, as well as offensive line with the future of Jason Kelsey there, that they need to give him a new contract, Isaac Samalo as well, their top left guard. So really could be a casualty of this cap situation. I'm not sure where Sanders would fit really great. He's a straight-up power back, but he's a bit flashy, up and down. Maybe he ends up complementing, say, a don't know, Kenneth Walker in Seattle, where he's kind of a backup back there. I think I could see Sanders easily being committed, because I think as much as he had some lead back status with the Eagles, I don't think it was totally dedicated to him, depending on the game script, especially with Jalen Hurts getting involved in the running game. And we saw Gainwell as a change of pace, as well as enough of Scott in some games to close things out as a power back of more compact stature. So we'll watch Miles Sanders. I'm just not thrilled about where his prospects are. They get a fine season, his breakout season, with enough scoring here to really be reliable in fantasy football as an RB2. But beyond that, I don't know if there's a good situation here for Miles Sanders. Again, not being able to catch passes really hurts him. Now, David Montgomery, we thought for sure maybe the Bears would move on with Khalil Herbert being a big factor behind him, but they're interested in bringing him back, really interested. They see him as being a lifeblood of their offense because of his receiving skills, which he has that Sanders doesn't, and needing that complementary running back power style and dump-off option for Justin Fields. So I could totally believe the Bears bringing back David Montgomery because he's a unique complete back. Is he the most explosive or special back? No, but he gets the yards that are there. He runs hard and can play well off a running quarterback. So all that's in play. So Montgomery, I would expect right now, is going to remain with the Bears. So hopefully those of you into Khalil Herbert as a future big blow-up aren't too invested in him yet. I think there's a chance that this stays a pretty strong committee with Montgomery seeing much of the red zone and receiving work. Well, I think you'll see Khalil Herbert get those big run, chunk run type opportunities here as the more explosive back. So things to watch out for in Chicago. Devin Singletary, this is an interesting situation. Do the Bills look at a running back in the first round of the draft, either the premier target, Bijan Robinson of Texas, or do they look at Jahmyr Gibbs of Alabama and move on and have James Cook just being a complimentary receiving type back here that can provide some pop? They moved on from Zach Moss. We know they traded him for Naeem Hines, but he was more involved in their turning game and dedicated receiving. So Singletary, also not a big pass catcher. James Cook was drafted to do that. He's the more explosive back right now, so Cook could step into a bigger role. They could slide Hines in the receiving role, and they could do nothing here. But either way, it looks like James Cook will get a bump in his value here, depending on what the Bills do to approach this as a committee and maybe add a veteran or a younger back. So again, Miles Sanders could be a good transition there for the Bills. I just think they have to be also careful with their cap situation now that the big contract kicks in for Josh Allen. So Singletary and Sanders, because of things going on elsewhere on the team in Philadelphia and Buffalo, I think it'll be on the market. I think Damon Harris is also going to be available. The Patriots have some depth now behind Ramondre Stevenson with Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong, so this is a good chance to move on from Harris. The durability issues are there. He's just not a reliable guy. Does Harris end up, again, with the Raiders and eases some things off Jacobs? They're reuniting with McDaniels. Does he go in to be a younger backup to Derrick Henry, who could be worn down with Mike Vrabel? So these are all kinds of things we have to think about with Damien Harris. I don't think he lands in a situation where he's going to be the main man here. It's going to be a similar situation where you're splitting with Stevenson, who's got the more explosiveness and receiving skills. So, again, if it'd make sense, if they keep Khalil Herbert in Chicago, I think Harris could be an option there. Montgomery's not re-signed, so some reshuffling about to happen here. But Harris's free agent value in fantasy football is pretty down here. I'd say it really is more about Ramondre Stevenson getting a further bump up as an RB into maybe a top five scoring option here at the position if he's controlling most of the key touches for New England. All right, there's a look at five more. Those are the other guys in my top 50 unrestricted free agents, as well as Jacobs and Barkley at running back here. So we will close the show looking at the best of the rest here, or the rest of the best, however we want to look at it, and some backfields that could be in motion here with the values here in 2023. We'll do that in our final segment here. Valentine's Day is coming up. That's right. It's almost February 14th, which means romance is here more than usual. I don't need to tell all you lovebirds that. You've probably had your day plans on the calendar for weeks, but have you found the perfect Valentine's Day gift yet? Whether you're celebrating the day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Yeah, it doesn't get any easier than that. BlueNile.com, you can find the perfect piece of jewelry for life's special moments or even create a custom engagement ring of her dreams. Their simple online tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers then will handcraft that perfect piece to your specifications. Blue Nile provides expert guidance, in-depth educational materials, and unique online tools that place you in control so you can forget the usual hassles of the jewelry shopping process and focus on the romance. Blue Nile's diamond price guarantee allows you to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs. Blue Nile can even meet or beat their price. Every order is insured and arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shipping is free and so are returns. Right now you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off. BlueNile.com to take care of her for Valentine's Day. All right, it is time to close the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll look at the rest of the running backs on the market. Dante Foreman is available from the Panthers. Now, we know they had Chuba Hubbard as well as an option. So did the Panthers blow up the backfield and they move on here with the new coaching staff with someone that Frank Reich prefers? So maybe that's a consideration they think about in this backfield. And maybe do they see potentially a change of pace type back coming in there like a Tony Pollard and try to be their version of Austin Eckler. So this is a big opening to watch because Hubbard, again, limited back here. Foreman did move on from the Titans to the Panthers. Maybe the Titans are interested again in Foreman bringing back as they didn't have real great insurance for Derrick Henry last year. So that's something to consider for Carolina. But again, they could blow it up. Frank Reich, we've seen the type of backs he's had. He had Jonathan Taylor as a clear workhorse here. So that could give some limited level appeal for Montgomery if he's out there in the market because he can have some of the same things at a little less explosive level, but something definitely to consider here with the new coach draft with Frank Reich in place there in Carolina. They could move on and have different styles of running backs. Kevin Stefanski is still in Cleveland, but interesting that Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson are free agents behind Nick Chubb. So opens up possibility for Nick Chubb to see key volume here. I would think the Browns are leaning towards keeping D'Ernest Johnson or Kareem Hunt because Johnson can do more than the Chubb is adept enough in the receiving game, and they faded Hunt a little bit with more pass-catching options, including David Njoku, a tight end emerging, as well as Donovan Peoples-Jones and Amari Cooper. So less dependence on Hunt as a receiver. D'Ernest Johnson, we've seen, is a strong plug-and-play should something happen to Chubb. So we'll see where Hunt goes. Again, limited roles for him elsewhere. Maybe he's in a change of pace type situation that we look at as a receiving back. And again, Devin Singletary and Hunt might form a good committee somewhere. So something to look at. But I think Hunt's days of being a reliable fantasy football producer are over. I think Johnson could be really plus handcuff should he stay there in Cleveland behind Nick Chubb. So I'm not sure if I want to buy him in too much of an expanded role. I mean, there's a reason he's been a backup behind Chubb and Hunt. They're in Cleveland for a while. I don't think he can hold up for those major touches. But again, I think Johnson has more preference here and more value going forward than Hunt, who's a little bit older. And Johnson has been very effective whenever called upon by Cleveland. Rashad Penny is a free agent. That's probably not going to have him coming back to Seattle. They had Chris Carson retire. Then they transitioned to Kenneth Walker here this year. They were fine with him. And they made it work with some other backups, DJ Dallas and Travis Homer when needed. There was some durability there, but Penny is a master durability issue walking in. We knew that. That's why Kenneth Walker had so much upside behind Penny, even though Penny had that great finish to the 2021 season. So Penny, I don't know. He's with that too much injury baggage there. Maybe it has to end up in a Seattle type. The surrogate offense, maybe it's the Rams there that they could look at Penny as an option behind Cam Akers. So lots of things to consider there with the changing Seattle backfield, but all things pointing up for Kenneth Walker being an RB1 in the top 10 next year. Jamal Williams, a great story, locker room influencer for the Lions, but do they want to keep him? They have Justin Jackson. They got DeAndre Swift. Is this combination what they want to have there? So Williams, the locker room presence, the veteran feel on this team could prompt them to keep Jamal Williams if they want to build on their first winning season quite a while and turn that into a playoff bird. So something I could see Williams coming back on the cheap here to keep supporting DeAndre Swift. And then maybe they'll make Justin Jackson, some of their other backs expendable here and make it more of a clear situation for Williams plug and play. But last year, we know Williams, his fantasy value really shot up because he was so touchdown proficient that is hard to duplicate from one year to the next. So unless he's that prominent number two role, and they're going to see at least some high handcuff value, it's hard to trust Jamal Williams to produce that kind of a touchdown output again. Alexander Mattison, there could be a change behind Dalvin Cook. Kenny Nwangwu is more the Pro Bowl kickoff return guy that they have behind Mattison there in this backfield. So they change things up behind Dalvin Cook? Has Madison shown enough or just not enough there behind Cook? Does a situation like, say, Baltimore open up and they're not sure about the health of J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, and Madison might fit well there? So I think, again, I would expect the Vikings just let Madison walk. They have some nice potential here with younger options, so I think they let Madison go here. And we'll see if he can end up in a decent committee to have some power value. Maybe, again, he's a guy that ends up in Buffalo replacing Singletary in that role. And if Cook, Samaje Perine, I think the Bengals will do their best to keep him, but they also have Chris Evans who can catch passes along with Joe Mixon. So Perine might be exploring his options elsewhere. He might not have too many because he fits what the Bengals do so well. Maybe it'll open up for the Commanders if they move on and want to bring back Perine instead of having Antonio Gibson, who was a bit disappointing last year. But Perine more in a dedicated kind of third down role because of his pass protection, his strength, and as well as receiving skills here. And finally, not last but not least here, the Dolphins, I should say, Jeff Wilson and Jr. and Raheem Mostert, both free agents here. So I don't think they'll just turn the backfield over to Myles Gaskin and give him the ball here. So Wilson and Mostert, a pretty decent combination. They were able to pick up Wilson after the trade of Christian McCaffrey to San Francisco, made Wilson expendable. Two guys that fit the system, we know pretty easily, plug and play for Mike McDaniel. Now, do either of these guys end up back with the 49ers? I doubt it, with Elijah Mitchell being there and Jordan Mason behind Christian McCaffrey. So they got to find a similar scheme. We know we had to pivot away from that scheme with the Jets with Michael Floor leaving here. So you'll have to find a Kyle Shanahan type of offense to run in here. And not too many in that system. We look potentially now with the offensive coordinator. I mean, you say the Dolphins have that system, but do a lot to have what it takes to copycat that. That's what we're looking at here going forward. I would expect the Texans to have some interest there, to have maybe Wilson or Mostert to be a complement to Damian Pierce. That would make sense with D'Amico Ryans going there. And maybe you'll still have some of the influence on the Jets to have one of these guys behind Breece Hall, who's coming off a major injury as well. So a lot of things to look at, but Mostert and Wilson probably peaked with their production in that split committee for the Dolphins. So we'll see if the Dolphins want to make a bigger splash at that position. And these two guys, again, with their injury-prone history, I think it's a little bit questionable to trust them landing and being as deliverable with production as they were in Miami. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of the free agent class of running backs here. These are the best available options on the board. It's a decent class of draft running backs as well. We've talked about a couple of them, and we'll dive more into the draft as we get closer to the combine and past that and through the Super Bowl. So a lot of good stuff coming on the young backs as well. So another talented pool of running backs, probably going to change the course what we think in fantasy football this season. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Subscribe to Locked On NFL Podcast and get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, plus in-depth analysis of the biggest games and NFL key predictions every Friday. That's coming up for Super Bowl 57 between the Eagles and Chiefs. And Monday, local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes, including what happened in the Pro Bowl. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll be back tomorrow to break down what we have in free agency on the side of wide receivers and tight ends.